Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
All right, peace and blessings, and welcome to another Artist Roundtable. I've been thinking a lot about the family members of the artists. I know that it can't always be easy, you know, when you love an artist, when you love a dreamer, you know, love somebody who's kind of doing something, you know, outside of the box of what society might consider normal. I personally think that, you know, we experience art every single day of our lives, no matter whether it's turning on the TV, getting in the car, turning on, you know, the stereo, you know, whatever it is. We look around the walls and have paintings to just, you know, even, you know, when it comes to being a chef or it comes to, you know, sewing clothes or whatever it is. There's so many ways that we experience art, and I know that it just cannot always be easy. But sometimes it may be a great experience to love an artist. You know, I'm going to start out the show with a track, and I have a reason why I'm starting out with this track, but I'll tell you that after the fact. I'm going to play a piece by Maurice Johnson, and I'm going to play For You, For Me.
I need you to hang this phone up.
My daddy told me he loved me. He told me I was the best. He worked real hard for his family. Sometimes two jobs. My daddy told me he loved me. He gave me his gift of song. I didn't need to find a man to be my daddy, 'cause I had one. My mommy told me she loved me. She told me I was the smartest girl in the world. She taught me to have an opinion, to look beneath the surface.
With her piece, Black Love. I understand that there were some technical difficulties. If you can hear me in the chat room, can you please type in that you can hear me? Otherwise, I'm not sure what is going on with the radio show board. So anybody in the chat room, if you could type in if you can hear me, so let me type it in case you're not hearing me. So Eleanor or Maurice in the chat room, can you? Okay, yay, okay. Okay, you said you can hear me now. So anyway, I'm not sure if you guys heard anything that I said tonight, and I apologize for that. I'm not sure what was going on with the system here for the radio show. But tonight is the Artist Roundtable, and I want to address, the people that are in the world of the artists outside of the industry, the ones that are their loved ones, the ones that are their significant others or children or parents or, you know, whomever is very, very close on that behind-the-scene world for the artists. And I just, you know, I realized what it is that I went through and my children and my father went through in supporting who I am in being an artist. Well, not an artist, okay. A business owner to somebody who supports the artist and is creating a business to support the artist. So let's see if I can bring in Maurice Johnson's wife. Let's see if it'll work this time. Rita, are you with me?
I'm here.
All right, darling. I have no idea what was going on earlier. I got a phone call saying, we can't hear you talking. I'm like, oh, okay. So then maybe Rita didn't hear me talking when I opened up the phone line. So anyway, welcome to the Artist Roundtable, Rita. I really appreciate you taking out the time to call into the show tonight. So I understand, and you can tell me more and the listeners of the show tonight more, but I understand not only are you Maurice's wife, but you're very, very active in his career as an artist.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So, why don't you first tell us what type of role do you play when it comes to supporting him as an artist in as far as the profession goes?
Okay, I play lots of roles. First of all, I'm his photographer.
Okay.
I do all his publicity shots, and I also manage him.
Okay.
We're just talking about stuff in the business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I mean, I do want to touch on just what it's like, you know, to have somebody in the artist world, you know, with your family member, spouse, you know, children or whatever,
yeah.
and how it feels. But I also, since you are a part of his actual world as an artist, I thought you could just let us know what it is that you do on that side, and then we could go the other direction if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, that's basically, the managing consists of a whole lot, you know,
okay.
besides his bookings and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
and also I'm with him probably 80% of the time when he's on a gig,
okay.
and that's a lot. That takes a lot out of me.
Is this something that you just kind of fell into doing for Maurice, or is it? Like, how did it come about that you played this role for him?
Well, I think I really fell into it.
Okay.
We've been married almost 33 years now.
Wow, okay.
He's always done this. He's always, since I've known him, you know, he's
okay.
always been a
okay.
musician. I think through the early part of our marriage,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really on board because
oh, okay.
I was taking care of children, and it's a little different, you know, it's a little different than it is now. Now I go full throttle in supporting him and you know, just being a part of his journey.
Okay. So, so tell me this, since he was an artist already when you fell in love with him and became a couple, were you just, like, in a sense, in awe of his artistry and loved that, or, like, and then you just didn't really know what it was you were getting into and getting involved in marrying an artist, or, like, what was that like in the beginning?
I didn't know what I was getting into. Well, that's my honest thoughts.
Okay.
Actually, when we did get married, I mean, he had not, he was playing the instrument.
Okay.
But he had not actually started to play out in the public.
Okay.
So that was, that was pretty difficult.
Okay.
Once it got started.
Okay. So, one of the things I think about when it comes to a musician or anybody who's, like, in the, you know, plays music, sings, performs, you know, all of that, I think about the fact that there must be hours spent either in rehearsing, whether it's in the home or somewhere else, to creating and writing the music and all of that, that maybe the artist kind of zones out and maybe the loved one or the family gets ignored?
Yeah.
Not meaning for that, but...
Well, yeah, I'm that's one of the things that I think happens a lot. I mean, it did in my marriage.
Okay.
It does happen. He did go into his own little world. There was hours spent... with all of that, with the rehearsal, with the gigging, the association, you know, with other musicians.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of that. Gosh, it's just, you know, I'm really going back.
Okay.
Because it's different now. It's different now. But back then it was very difficult, especially when you had children, small children.
Sure. Right.
And you want it, I mean, me as a woman, you know, I needed that other head, hand, whatever, you know,
sure.
with the children.
Sure.
But Maurice, you know, when that started really becoming a problem, he did kind of respond and tried to, you know, step in more.
Okay.
I'm leaving these gaps because, you know, it's a long story, but
I understand. And honestly, Rita, I mean, I'm asking you these questions, and if there's anything that you're not comfortable in answering, that's okay because, you know, that's your personal information. I guess I just was thinking about it, you know, because when I think about my family, you know, back in 2003, I built a coffee shop and refinanced my house, you know, to build it, and, you know, and then it turned out that for 5 years, between 2003 and 2008, I ran that coffee shop by myself from, you know, Monday into Saturday, from morning till night. So I wasn't home, you know. I mean, luckily my kids were grown, you know. Brittany was, you know, junior, senior in high school, so it wasn't like she needed to be babysat, you know. And a lot of times she and her friends did come down to the coffee shop themselves, you know. But, you know, just the time, I mean, I felt like I lost friendships. I lost, you know, many, many relationships in Seattle because I was a business owner and had to commit and dedicate my time to that. To then, you know, I closed in 2008 and went into this Lady Flava thing full time. And my kids would say to me, Mom, could you just stop being Lady Flava? Could you just be Mom right now? Could you just be Susan? And so I thought about those type of things, you know, and that it's got to be pretty similar to when, you know, you love an artist. You know, I took a you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, to everybody that's listening, I lost a house behind owning a business that I, and I owned the house for 17 years because of refinancing it to build my business. You know, so even at that, you know, to go from owning a house, losing it behind a business, to then my teenage daughter and I having to move into an apartment because of that. You know, so I just think about, you know, those type of things. And even like when it comes to finances, you know, it's not necessarily cheap, you know, for an artist to do their thing, whether it's, you know, buying the equipment that they need, you know, to guitars and speakers and amps and, you know, equalizers,
yeah,
whatever it is, you know, there's even an expense that goes into it.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's constant. That's constant. And
right,
you do have to adjust to that, being married to someone who's doing that. You really do.
Right.
And you do have to make a lot of sacrifices. And that's a big part of it. And that's a big, you know, trying to stay. You know, when you love a person that's real creative like that, and like you are, I mean, you're just driven.
Right.
You know, you kind of know it. You kind of know it from the beginning. I mean, you know, I naively didn't know what really I was getting into. I mean, that's the truth. But once I knew, you know, it was up to me to say, okay, I'm going to stay or I'm going to go.
Right.
And so it's kind of like very individual, you know, on an individual basis. You go through a lot of stuff. And when you have a person that's creative, you love a person, you got to let them go. I mean, not let them go, I'm not saying like that. You got to let them do their thing.
Do their thing.
That's right.
Right.
Because I really believe that, you know, when God puts us here, you know, our brains are wired differently for a reason. You know, you have to be able to do what you were put here to do. And let those, you know, you have to let that creativity just flow.
Right.
Or that individual...
You know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, hon. You're fine.
I was just going to say that individual will wither.
Right. You know, and that's a great point. And I appreciate you saying that because, you know, I was even talking, you know, to somebody on the phone today in Atlanta. And, you know, I was telling them, you know, I really don't want to get a real job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love being Lady Flavor, you know. Of course, if I had a real job and had a steady income, you know, life would be a lot easier, you know. But, you know, it's like, do I really want to do that? Again, luckily for me, my children are grown, you know. So it's not like I'm having to take care of, you know, toddlers or even teenagers. My children are all grown. But, you know, even at that, just thinking about if I had a 9-to-5 or whatever, a full-time job, you know, my finances would look a lot easier and all. And so I know that there are a lot of artists that are doing their thing as an artist without having, you know, a job and the finances to help support the family. And then, you know, being torn, you know, is that fair or is that right when it comes to, you know, making those type of sacrifices, you know, being an artist. And so, you know, I admire the fact, Rita, that you've come to learn and understand and grow in this with Maurice and find your way to make it work, I guess, for you where, you know, it hasn't driven you crazy. Well, it hasn't, you know, driven you away from your husband. And now you're kind of a part of his world and taking a different role. So he went from playing in a band, you know, that was pretty successful to that, you know, disbanding to then developing or designing guitars. Is that correct?
Yes. He's always, I guess when he switched off one, he would switch off another.
Okay.
And he went from being in a popular band, and that, you know, that was another stress, at least for a partner.
Right.
Because you're dealing with a whole, I mean, even when he was just beginning, he would be at home a lot, playing in the kitchen, and I'd been in the front room watching television. Got used to the two noises going on.
Okay.
And then when he actually got into a band that got pretty popular, there was another whole element to deal with. And as a spouse, you know, and that's
right.
And I just went blank, but the groupies.
Okay.
You know, that's another element to deal with.
So then when it came to, was it a different feeling when the band broke up and everybody kind of went their own way, and then Maurice became an entrepreneur and guitar designer? Was that a different feeling?
It was slightly different feeling because, you know, just like when you said, I really don't want to get a 9-to-5 job. That was like him.
Okay.
And that was really different for me because I came out of the country. I came from really small, you know, country town in Oklahoma where all the men went to work 9-to-5 or, you know, beyond. And that's just the way it was done. Maurice was not wired like that.
Right.
And that was something else that, you know, that a lot of people, you know, young people, when they're getting ready to get married, they should look at that because Maurice just was not wired like that. And it wasn't because he was lazy or didn't want to do this or didn't want to do that. He was just not wired like
that.
Right,
okay.
And so when he did start going into his, you know, when he did break up with the, when the band did break up, of course he was very depressed.
Okay.
He started doing a lot of other stuff, like he, you know, chanced upon a guy that was a luthier and start building guitars and start going to NAMM shows and stuff. He did that.
Okay.
I was always, at that time, employed myself with, I'm the one who had the, you know, who had been employed with a steady job while we were raising our children. And then I guess the last few years, after all that ran through about the guitar building, and then he started a job. Maurice actually started a 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
Kept it for a straight, and he's never done this in his life, 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
No, it's 8 years. I'm sorry. I just made it smaller. Well, I want to tell you, it changed him drastically.
Oh.
Maurice turned from being this very creative. He's always been creative about everything. I don't care if you go outside and look at a tree. He was creative about what he saw. That's just the way he was.
Okay.
And it was almost like he was, I don't know, I guess that leaf in the fall when it starts to turn brown and fall off the tree. I guess that's the way I could describe him.
Okay.
This really happened to us. It was really sad. And I saw that. We, by the way, while this is happening, we got our children raised. They're out of the house.
Okay.
Finally, Maurice, and I'm still here with him, you know, back behind him. finally, he just quit the job.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it was driving him crazy. And he said, Rita, we've raised the children. I can't do this anymore. He said, I want to go back to my music.
Mm.
And so that's how he came and got back out. And
yeah,
go ahead.
Was that an easy decision for you to make with him?
It was not easy. It was very difficult.
Okay.
It was easy when I would look at his face and see how he had started to turn. mm-hmm. you know, the light just kind of going off in him, as far as that was concerned. And then during all this time, you know, Maurice, he's dealt with some other pressures, and I'm going to be honest about it, and this is public, and this is awful, but I had gotten sick, and I had a, you know, a couple of years ago, I actually had a heart attack.
Oh.
And it was just during this time when all this stuff started taking place. So it was really scary.
Sure.
With no insurance and, you know, I mean, it was just crazy.
Right.
But now that I've come this far, I see that we've made the right decision.
Okay.
Because Maurice needs this. I need it.
Okay.
You know, I've learned how to, you know, everything's not black and white.
Yeah.
And everybody is not put on this earth to work a 9-to-5 job and be bored out of their skull or,
right.
you know, be able to function. So I'm a true believer now. When I hear somebody say what you told me, oh, my
mm-hmm.
God, you go for it. We have one
right.
life to live.
Okay. Okay. So how does it feel to be Rita Johnson today, now that he's getting back out there and playing and creating again? What does it feel like for you?
I actually love it.
Yeah.
Because during all this time, Maurice is the one who pushed me into doing photography. You know, he didn't just let me sit around, feel sorry for myself. And he constantly pushes me to go do other things. I don't want to tell my age. I'm still kind of shy about that. But
okay.
I've actually started going back to college.
Okay.
It's because of him. Because it's something that I kind of wanted to finish and I never did. And whatever I'm going to do with it, I might not even get a 9-to-5 job. But that's not what's important. It's something that I wanted to finish.
Okay.
So, it's almost like it's kind of freed me up after all these years. It's
sure.
my thinking is differently, is different, and I just think about how, I don't know, and because he makes me a part of it too, you know, he makes a special effort to make me a part of his life. So that's kind of unusual, but he does.
So we've got another caller on the line, Rita, and if you don't mind, I'd like to bring them both in. Bring them in with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
Is that okay? All right.
Yeah.
So I am going to cross my fingers and say this is Donna Green on the line.
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
All right. How are you? Now, Rita, Donna
Good. How are you?
Is the wife of another jazz musician who has also now branched out into acting and so on and so forth. So thank you so much for calling into the show, Donna. And I know I've got you up very late, that you normally go to bed early because of your job. So if you don't mind, you know, so I know you've been on the line with your hand up for a minute, and I'm sure you've heard some of what Rita has shared as being the wife of a jazz musician. Can you feel what she's saying? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a lot of decision making on both of our parts as to, you know, what we're going to do financially and how you're going to handle, you know, the family and everything like that. It's you know, different than a typical, you know, having someone that's doing a 9-to-5 and, you know, even when I come home from work, sometimes it's right on the music. You know, we need to upload this, we need to download this, somebody sent me this, send this to somebody, you know, so it's, there's a lot of, it's not like a normal, you know, existence. You know, sometimes I'll be making dinner and my husband will disappear, and I'll hear music, and it's like, oh, he's in the studio. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we usually end up, you know, sometimes we'll end up eating without him because, you know, he'll be, like, in the zone, and, you know, when the zone hits, you gotta play with it, so.
Right. So, now, with John, he's always been a musician ever since you guys have been together?
Yes, pretty much.
What was it like when John really took it serious, you know, in being an artist and wanting to compose and all of that?
It's definitely gotten a lot more intense, you know, when he wasn't as serious. You know, he would just disappear into the studio and play.
Okay.
Now it's, you know, we got to get this on Facebook, we got to get this heard, put, you know, get it out on Reverb, you know, send it to people. And, you know, it's just the intensity level has definitely increased greatly.
Right. So I think that you could probably relate to what Rita was saying, because you played a really big role in the career, your husband's career. You know, you pretty much are like his manager, and you go to meetings with him, and you go to performances, and you go to the set with him and things like that. Do you enjoy playing that type of role, Donna? Is it something you wanted to do, or is it something you fell into doing?
It's surprisingly something that I fell into and enjoy.
Okay.
You know, I never would have thought that, like, you know, I'm basically his agent too for acting, and other people have come to me and asked me to also be their agent in acting, and I've got like 5 or 6 people now, and it's pretty exciting. Like, I never thought I was going to be agent or a Michigan agent, but, you know, it all of this has just happened. And it's pretty interesting because I never really knew what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Right.
Now that I'm here, it's all happening. It's pretty exciting.
So you know what you could do, just to throw this out there, Donna? You could scrapbook for all the artists that you take on. Just scrapbook their careers. Rita, Donna loves to scrapbook. I don't know how frequently you get to do that.
It's been way too long, yeah.
Okay.
I would need another 24 hours in a day to be able to scrapbook for them, too. But maybe, you know, one day when I can say goodbye to the state and hang up my hat as a social worker and be a full-time manager and agent and scrapbooker and mom and wife.
Right.
Maybe that day.
Donna has a young son, and Donna and John. They're out in Michigan, and, you know, they have an 8-year-old who's absolutely amazing, too, and talented and following in his father's footsteps as a musician and an actor and all of that. So, you know, just for you, Donna, do you feel like it's life is fairly well balanced, or does it just feel kind of crazy and chaotic?
It's balanced in the sense that I feel like I'm spinning on a disc that's balanced on a wheel, and the only thing keeping it going is that I keep running, and my weight is evenly distributed on the disc that's keeping it spinning.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
There's always something, and it's a good chaos, you know.
Okay.
You know, sometimes there were nights that it was like auditions. Okay, audition for Big John, audition for Little John, audition, okay, we're going to shoot for this one. And then, you know, both the guys are shooting this day, and, you know, there's a music thing going on this day. And some of the days like that were truly satisfying, as chaotic as they were.
Right.
You know, the downtime, you know, like right now there's not a lot going on in the acting. I think after the holidays they kind of settled down a little bit, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I know that, you know, that John's got, like, at least I've seen pictures, right, 50 million keyboards in his studio and all of that. And I know that just, you know, thinking about, I remember one day Stephen talked about how much money it costs for him to build his studio and all the equipment he has in there and stuff, that... you know, obviously the Green family has had to make some sacrifices when it comes to equipment.
Yes, definitely. You know, but it's all worth it. And, you know, you have to feed the passion. And you know, you have to make sure that everybody's got what they need to complete them. You know, music completes genre, and if he didn't have that stuff, I'm sure he would be happy, but it's, you know, it's just like me with my scrapbook stuff, you know, you know, the family is sacrificed for me to get what I want, and
okay. It sounds like you, both you and Rita, understand that creative soul in your husbands and the need for them to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got another caller on the line. So, ladies, if at any point you want to drop off, I'm okay with that. But I'm just going to leave the phone lines open, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring in another caller. So, okay. Stephen Jerome Ferguson, you want to join in the conversation, huh? Stephen? No? Stephen's friend?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. I pulled the lady flavor.
Oh, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one trying to do that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So Rita, this is Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and he is the CEO of SJF Music. He is also a jazz bass player and producer, composer, and all of that. So I'm sure that, you know, now you don't know Maurice Johnson, do you, Stephen?
No, I don't, but I know his music.
Okay.
Very talented individual, very talented. And what I want to say real quick to both Rita and Donna, if you guys don't know it, you're dependent on greatly. I know sometimes as musicians we don't say it as much as we need to, but without you guys, I mean, we'd be lost as Easter eggs, I'm telling you. They should be singing songs about you guys around campfires for all the stuff you guys have to put up with. And that's coming from the heart, ladies. And I know your husbands appreciate you. We all appreciate you. And you guys just keep hanging in there doing what you're doing, because you're doing an outstanding job, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
So, Stephen, just out of curiosity, I mean, I know that you're a single father of two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have a full-time job, too, on top
mm-hmm.
of, you know, being an artist and on top of producing, oh, gosh, I can't write at the moment, several artists. But I would have, well, it sounds like you're an amazing dad, but I would imagine that your daughters, you know, have maybe, I don't know, made some sacrifices around daddy doing what he does.
Well, they have, but they understand because, you know, the old saying, the nut doesn't fall far from the tree.
Okay.
Because both of them are deep into music as well. And they've actually helped me out with some of my compositions on a couple of pieces.
Okay.
And I said my oldest is a singer. She's in the chorus at University of Kansas. And my youngest is in her first year of high school, and she's also in the chorus, and she's also first chair violin.
Mm.
So they understand when dad has to lock himself in the room and work on music for 14, 15 hours straight. I've been blessed because they are very, very self-sufficient.
Right,
and,
okay.
I've never had any problems out of those two girls, and they have been a complete blessing to me. But you know, being in a relationship, any kind of relationship with a musician is a hard thing to do. It really is. If you're a musician and you've got a significant other in your life, consider yourself, and that significant other is understanding and knows what you're going through, then consider yourself extremely blessed, because you are, you really are.
You know, I think that you probably are right, Stephen. I think that there are probably a lot of people that don't really understand. Maybe they're kind of in awe in the beginning, especially if there's a, you know, they meet the artist as an artist, you know, and that was kind of like new and exciting to them. But when you settle down and, you know, become a couple, committed and to having children or whatever, you know, creating a life, I would imagine it's got to be, you know, challenging. And, you know, where do you fit into that? So I apologize. I have had this tickle in my throat for days now. But let me bring in another caller. So now we've got on the line John D. Green Sr., Donna's husband. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? I just want to be the inconsiderate party of the ungrateful, inconsiderate advocate devil. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You need to really stop it, because I'm going to tell Donna to go stomp you.
Yeah, yeah, she's close by. Y'all, you mess around here, stop fighting a minute. She's close by.
So I know you've been kind of on and off the phone line, but what do you think about what's being shared by Rita Johnson and your wife?
I can, well, in all fairness, I can only see it from the point of view of the artist. I understand what's being said, and I completely comprehend what's being said. It's a sacrifice on both ends, because we speak a different language, and we expect them to just understand it and roll with it, which isn't always the case. Fortunately, and when, like Stephen said, when we find these significant others that can actually roll with our nuttiness, then it's a blessing in itself. It's not easy. I completely understand that. A testament to the complexities of the artist. But, you know, my wife, she does it. She does it well. We don't like each other all the time, but we always love each other. Yeah, I always love her, but when she's the agent and I'm the talent, we butt heads quite a bit.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So out of curiosity, Rita, since John just made that statement, does it go smoothly for you and Maurice when it comes to you managing and handling business for him?
Oh no.
She's like, no. But at the end of the day, y'all work it through, right?
That's right.
Okay. So we got another caller in. Huh? Go ahead, Rita.
Oh, no, that wasn't me.
Oh, Donna? Okay, go ahead, Donna.
I think if it does go super smoothly, then somebody's not being truthful. You know,
good point.
You can't totally, you know, hold your artist's hand, whether they're right or wrong. I mean, you have to be able to say, honey, you know, change this, or I don't like this, or this isn't a good deal, or you have to be able to speak up and do what's right for him, whether
right.
he sees it or not. So.
Right. Okay. I would imagine. I think that, you know, if I was in a relationship with an artist, that could be really interesting and challenging, because, you know, I'm pretty vocal when it comes to certain things and all of that. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier for me to be Lady Flava over here all by myself.
But you also mentioned the other day about having to be truthful with people. And you and I have had that conversation where, you know, you've had some things that you maybe wanted to tell John that you didn't know how to handle, or, you know, didn't want to hurt his feelings. And, you know, part of being who you are and being a good supporter of the artist, you have to be able to say, you know, this isn't your best, or, you know, you could fix it this way or change it this way, because you've got the experience, you've got the ear, you know. You've got
well,
their
I'm
back.
Learned, I'm learning and growing, and you're right. That wasn't an easy thing for me to handle when it came to John. But you know what? Now he's got Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and it's all fixed.
Yes, maybe all that talking, it did something. I went and got the big chief.
I called Donna one day, and I was like, Donna, are you hearing what I'm hearing? Because I don't think John's hearing what I'm hearing or whatever. And so anyway, yeah, we got the big dog on it, so we got that resolved. But, yeah, even at my part, you know, when I grow to really, you know, love and care for an artist, it's not always easy. You know, because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, you know, and I can be pretty, you know, vocal about what I think and I feel about something. So, you know, that's it's not easy for me to be, you know, be in this position, you know,
but
be a friend.
That's where our support teams and our spouses that happen to be in the business with us, that's where they come in. You know,
right.
Artists, and I'll speak for myself. Oh, I'm a manly man. I say what I want. So I'll say this, we are a very sensitive breed. We're passion-filled, and we're all about the music. And we don't want to hear your crap about it's not right. We don't want to hear that it don't sound good, okay? But we need to hear it. That's the thing. That's the worst part. We have to hear it. We can't be better if we're stuck in a position in which we don't understand or want to accept that it's not right. We have to hear it. And we know you don't want to tell us that, but out of love, you do. It's the worst thing in the world, but it's also the best thing in the world. We need rational-minded, business-like people around us to kind of help keep us in. It keeps us in check. For me, it does. She helps. She's my sanity. She keeps me in check, because if not, you let that pit bull off the chain, somebody's getting bit. You know, it's too much there. I need someone that's rational and that can say, hey, slow down, chain that dog now.
You
got to pull it back or tighten it up or do this or do that or go to sleep or eat or, you know, take a shower.
So, John, I guess I'll say it to any of you. I was just thinking about this as you were talking because, you know, Rita's very active in her husband's career and spends a great deal of time with him when it comes to, you know, being on the road or performing and this and that. Just like Donna, you know, is, you know, running around with you and LJ and all of that, you know, between, you know, music and acting and all of that. Do you think, and I'm just curious, do any of you think that this is like the norm, that the significant other is by the side of the artist throughout the whole thing? Or do you think that there are some that are just like, oh, you know what, just like leave me out of this. I can't even do it.
No, I know for a fact. I mean, within my circles this is the exception to the rule. Our wives, Rita and some of the other supporters and wives that we personally know, that's the exception to the rule because my wife has been on sets and have been on studio calls that have taken hours, and different sets have taken her away from this city to other cities to film.
Right.
Now, she's not an actor. She's my agent.
Mm-hmm.
But to have to sit through and suffer through with me, that's not normal. You know, most people would be like, look, you do you, I'll be at the crib, or I'm going to be at the store or the salon or whatever, and not I'm going to sit through this, you know, hot sun or, you know, the casting call moments. That is, I believe that these women or our significant others, whoever they be, they are the exceptions to the rules, because normal people would not do this, especially if you've done it and you know what I'm talking about. They wouldn't do this. They would not do this, sit through this.
So, Rita, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with John that not most women or significant others would not play such a strong role as you do in Maurice's career?
Well, I think if they truly loved their artist and understood him, they would. But it was very hard for me in the earlier years to do that. And but you know, now it's a little easier for me to do it, and I enjoy it. But a lot of I do know some people who have just walked away because they didn't want to handle that.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too. Or, you know, or they just don't, you know, they love their significant other so much, but they don't want to play a role in the artist part of the life, you know, and so, and they don't.
That's right.
And I've seen that. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show too is that a while back I have a dear, dear friend of mine who is like family to me, and business partner out here, J.C. Cage from Black Stacks. And I remember one day reaching out to his wife and saying to her, you know, I really appreciate the sacrifices you and your daughters make, you know, for Jace, you know, to be able to do what he does as an artist in this industry. And she turned around and she said to me, she's like, Slave, nobody's ever said that to me before, and I really appreciate you acknowledging me that way. And that taught me something there, you know, that like how many times are the people in the life of the artist, you know, acknowledged? And I think they need to be, you know, because you guys play such a solid role in, you know, who an artist is. And what they do, you know, even if you're not one who's by the artist's side, you know, like Rita and Donna, you know, as the two of you wonderful women, you know, but I know it just can't be easy, you know, again, you know, just thinking about what my children and my father went through, you know, and supporting me and the people in my world, my friends and this and that, who never got to see me for all those years. So I'm going to bring in another caller and see what they have to share. So welcome to the Artist Roundtable, Miss Monica Monet.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. So, and Rita, you probably don't know, but everybody else, Monica is an amazing soul R&B singer out of Jacksonville, Florida. And she's going to be coming to Seattle, Washington. I'm putting on a tour for her here coming in March. But I know you've got some thoughts to share, Monica. What did you, first of all, what do you think about what you've heard Rita and Donna, you know, talk about as far as being the wives of an artist, and then John and Steven as being the artist?
First of all, you know, you have to, excuse my voice is kind of hoarse. The weather here in Florida is like crazy. It was like 80 degrees last week. This week it was like 60 in the end of the middle of the day. 70, so I don't know, but it's crazy here. But first of all, you have to commend the wives, the family members who are in the artist's life, because in any form of art, it's not an easy business, and every day it's like a wild card. You don't know what's going to happen. You just have to keep the faith and believe in what you do and what you give your people in the world. And for someone to be by your side through the thick and through the thin, through having a lot of money or no money or just barely maintaining, I think that person is sent by God to be for that person anyway, whether they're, you know, with them, you know, with the actual business decisions, which normally if you're the wife or someone, a significant other, you do play a part. So you have to commend the wives and the family members, but you also have to commend the artists for realizing and picking that particular person that they need in their life as well, because you can very well pick someone that's there for who you are, but not, you know, you can pick someone for what you are, but not who you are, you know. So it's just, I don't have anyone right now, but I'm pretty sure when I do pick that special someone, it would be someone that's understanding of what I do, whether they're involved in it or not. So it's just a beautiful thing that they have these two beautiful women in their lives that are willing to go the extra mile for the people that they love.
Right. And it is amazing, you know, and I do think that, you know, John and Maurice are very, very fortunate, you know, to have such supportive, you know, women that have been by their side, not just new to this, you know, for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I know even like, you know, with you and, you know, your family, whether it be your sisters, your mother and father and stuff like that, you know, they've watched mm-hmm. you as an artist in a career and tried their best to be supportive, you know,
yeah.
of who you are and what you do. And it's not always easy just even for them, you know, even though you don't live up under them.
Yeah, so many heartbreaks in this, but, oh, my goodness, it's the passion. It's the passion for the art and what you do and the love of music and the love of whatever your art is, you know. But, you know, and a lot of times my mom said, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this because it really gets you down. At my worst with it, I'm really down, but at my best, I'm like, it's the best natural high in the world, you know. But, you know, I just love this journey. And since, you know, Lady Flavor, I have to tell you, you be helping me out. I have to call you by 2 or 3 in the morning. Hey, listen to me. So I thank you.
No, but you know what? You encourage me, too, you know, to do what it is that I do, you know, and I know that it's just not easy. I know there are people who say, why do you do that? You don't make any money from it. And, you know, this, that, and the other. And there are a lot of people, not just, you know, even like with my children or my dad, you know, but, you know, there are people, other people that are like, why do you put so much time into, you know, being Lady Flava, doing radio shows, doing this, that, and the other? It's like, I live, breathe this. You know, I wake up in the morning, like 7:30 this morning for a Monica Monet phone call, you know, to going to bed at night. You know, late at night, you know, to a Monica
yeah.
Monet phone call.
You know.
But, you know, the benefit of you, Monica, is like at least last night I got to hear you sing to me. So, you know, that's the benefit out of that. But,
yeah.
But you know, it's something I think everybody who's an artist, who's a creative soul, has to have that, at least that one person in their world, you know, that just helps mm-hmm. them make it make sense. Because
yeah.
I can imagine that all of you creative souls, you know, at times are like, okay, should I really be doing this? Should I really be making these sacrifices, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, and stuff. And just like with you, Monica, you work a full-time job on top of trying to get your album complete, on top of preparing for your tour up here in the Pacific Northwest, and, you know, in between all of that, still doing
yeah.
shows.
Yeah,
you know, and all of that.
The big news is that learning covers for the first time, and it's like that was something new in my whole career. I never wanted to sing another artist's song because I really felt that it was so much, you know, more that the world had to hear. But, you know, since I got the new management and everything, so now I'm trying to step out and do something new and learn a lot of these older songs. And my goodness, they'd be writing books. You know, beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, my God. I think it's going to enhance my writing skills. But,
mm-hmm.
oh, my goodness, like I was just telling you, learning For the Love of You by the Isley Brothers, like a short mini story. Like, oh, my goodness. But I love it. So I'm just going to try some new stuff, you know.
Right.
So I wanted to bring up a point. I'm sorry for interrupting. But,
no, that's okay.
But Monica did kind of started mentioning something that just rang in my head, that we really do have to be more positive than, you know, most people, because, you know, generally it is a heartbreaking kind of thing. You know, you're like, am I going to get hurt? Am I going to succeed? Am I going to have fans? You know, and while you're building all this, there's a lot of downtime that you're, you know, John and I find ourselves like, he'll be the cheerleader one day, and then I pick up the next day. And
mm-hmm.
your family really does come into play with that, because if you come from a background, like I come from a very, you know, just go to work, 9 to 5, you know,
mm-hmm.
dreams. You're not supposed to love your job. You're just supposed to work to get money, you know, and I've never felt that way. I've always felt like you should do something you love. You should follow your dreams. And it's been a real eye-opener how things have worked when you really think positively and go towards what you really want, that stuff does start happening.
Mm-hmm.
But you really have to keep that positive energy flowing. And if you have people in your life that are giving you that positive energy, you need to spend more time with them and really help, you know, try to feed off that positivity, because it helps immensely. It really does.
And I agree with you 100%. My parents are the same way. They believe in working 9 to 5, whether you like that job or not. This is how you take care of your family. And that is basically killing me. I can't do that any too much longer. You know I have to do some things because I have to do it, but I'm like you. I believe in, I don't want to just exist. I really want to live and eat from my passion. You know, most people look at it like you have truly made it, or what you consider success if you're on a Beyonce level, or maybe Alicia Keys level, or even Erykah Badu level. For me, and I don't know what God has for me, and I don't know what his level of success he has for me, but to me, I tell people all the time, you can't measure my success, because what success may be for you, it may not be for me. For me, I would feel like I'm very successful if I'm traveling and I'm eating from my craft and my music and my passion, and I'm taking care of my family, you know. That would be success for me and my music and healing people along the way, you know. So you are so right. The 9 to 5 is not for me either, you know, but I've got to hang in there until the next level comes. But, you know, but that, I agree with that 100%.
It is coming your way, honey. You just hang on in there.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So Rita, let me come back to you, my friend, since you came on and started out this conversation with me this evening. You know, Monica made a statement, you know, about, like, you know, working her 9 to 5, you know, and making the money to do what it is that she's got to do until she takes it to the next level. Now, is that, you know, what is the dream? What is the goal of the Johnson family as far as Maurice's career goes?
Well, definitely not the 9 to 5.
Yes, no.
It's not on the table anymore. It's taken it as far as he can take it, mm-hmm. you know, as far as he can dream and as far as he can take it. And as far as I can dream and as far as I can take it. Because, you know, we're in this together. We're not... it's not when you do, and I heard, you know, everyone talking, and you know, and it is something, you know, when you have someone to go through the journey with you, and it makes it so much harder for artists to pick up that spouse or that significant other when they're right in the middle of the journey, you know, when they've gotten that little success or whatever. Because
right.
it's hard to tell if somebody's attracted to you because of you, mm. or because of your what you do on stage.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
people get real, real mixed up and confused.
That is so true.
And so, you know, it's wonderful to hear people talk you know, they have their dreams, and it's wonderful. It's really helping me. I love hearing this, you know,
okay.
from creative people too, and you know, from the other spouse. But you know, it's wonderful hearing all these.
Wow.
Dreams.
That's pretty good. I mean, you know, you're right. There are people that do fall in love and fall in lust with this. Wow, artist that hits the stage and he or she dazzles the crowd, especially if I had a voice like Monica. I wouldn't even talk to people, you know, and I would just sing. I wouldn't even talk anymore, ever. I go into churches and order my food and sing song voice. But the funny part is, like, outside of, like, music and the studio and this and that, there are some people that are just cool 24/7. I am not one of them. I step away from the keyboard. I'm like, you ever seen the Nutty Professor, the Jerry Lewis? That's me. I'm not cool. So, see, I need my wife. I'm glad she actually love me enough to marry me, because as soon as I stop playing, it's a disaster. So I'm saying that suaveness only lasts for that. That suaveness only lasts for that 1 or 2 hours that I'm on stage. When that goes, I go. I don't even like talking to the people after that unless I'm playing. That's why I sit there with my hands on the piano.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, and I'm going to make this point. It might sound funny or whatever, but, you know, I've been having some absolutely amazing guests on my leopard carpet just in this year. You know, Stephen being the first, and then, you know, going into having Nwambe out of Dallas, Texas, and, you know, to then going into Tasha Taylor and Winston Warrior. And do you know, I'm going to say, and Nwambe, I know you out there listening, you know, there were women who said they were going to come to my show just off of how the men looked.
Oh,
and I'm like, are you serious? How about going and listen to their music, you know? So, Nwambe, you're out there in the chat room. You had some people that came to the show just based off of how you looked. So I don't know how that feels.
But they
you
can't
know.
See them on the show.
No, but they, you know, because I post a picture up, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I try to post up links, you know, where you can go find out more about them, their websites, YouTubes, things like that, right? And I was like, really? How about she's like, I really like his voice. Or where can I listen to more of his music? I'm like, he's a cutie. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. You know, and so I wonder what that would be like then for a spouse, you know, who, or a significant other or whatever that has an artist, you know, that, you know, other people find physically appealing.
Yes, my wife reads all my email for every site, you know, especially like the overseas fans that I have. And she gets a big kick out of some of the stuff, you know. I find at different times she'll call me and be like, hey, baby, did you read so-and-so? I'm like, no, what's it say? Boy, what she want to do to you? I'm like, really?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
they send that an email now?
Oh, people, you'd be surprised what people, I've had so many people say, so you're a model, right? Now, if you look at my site, there's nothing, the letters are huge. And they're at the top of the first page, the home page. It says, you know, musician, composer, singer, songwriter, actor. It doesn't say model anywhere. Nowhere. The gallery is like the second to last page. But every time I get people, so you're a model, right? Oh, you're a model. Wow, you're a model?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, those are the people you don't respond to.
So I think that would be an interesting, you know, point when it comes to an artist, you know, getting some recognition as far as popularity and and hopefully through the popularity, the talent, you know, is there. But I guess there could be, like, potential groupies, huh?
I was told recently that no matter how much we try to get away, because the big chief, I won't go as far as to say he's adamantly against that. But he's all about, like me for my music. I mean, let my music be the very first thing that brings you to that brings me to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I fall in line with that philosophy 110%. Don't base it on looks or how cool you think I am or if you think of. Base it on the music, because the music is what I am giving you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is my own.
And that's the only thing I'm giving you.
Right, you know.
Okay.
And me on the flip side wants to, you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking we should take off anything that says he's married just to get those women in here. Okay, you want to like him for how he looks? Buy his music.
Now, she just sprung that on me, too, because I'm sitting here looking at her like, what?
I don't care as long as you act married with me.
Well,
you know,
I can say the groupies are out there. That's a part of
okay.
it. Without the groupies, oh, I'm just saying, the groupies are important. They're part of it. And,
sure.
You know, just like the artists we're talking, you know, that's not what my objective is, to get the music out there. That's what I'm interested
right.
in. We're all human. Right. We're all human. There's always somebody that's going to look good or not look good or,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a big thing about it. And the spouse has to be a person who is confident in herself or himself.
Sure.
You know
what, though, Rita? My problem with that is, and it is probably a problem, so I'll talk to the chief about it tomorrow. I have a very hard time taking the groupie slash fans, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I have a very hard time taking them serious or giving them the due attention that you would give a fan, because I'm all about my fans, and most of you on this line now, you know that. I'm all
yeah.
about, I love my fans. I'm down with my fans. I'll pop up at your house and have dinner at your dining room table. I'm down with my fans. But
mm-hmm.
the groupie slash fans, I have a very hard time taking them serious based upon the premise in which they've come into my existence. If it's a look thing or you so fine thing, I don't generally take that serious at all. I kind of, and it's probably bad to say, but I'll be honest, I kind of back burner those people because, you know, you're not about business.
Yeah, that's good. That's not what I was trying. You know, I hope you didn't think I was saying that's you got to take, you know, pay attention to them and stuff. I was just saying they're there, and like
right.
you said, your wife has all the passes and everything to your Facebook and all your social.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have the same with Maurice, but I'm just saying, you know, because there could be a comment, and you do have to have confidence in yourself as the spouse.
Sure.
Because
that's
people
write
crazy things. They will write crazy things on your Facebook,
right.
on your, you know, most of the time Maurice does delete them off, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, they still pop up.
Okay.
Just from, you know, groupies.
Sure. You know, and that's a good point. I think the whoever the significant other is in the artist world is, you know, they've got to realize they have this type of behavior may take place. How you choose to handle it together, you know, I think that's important. And
yeah.
you know, it's just like when you're out there in public, you know, there a fan may, you know, want to give you a hug or take a picture or, you know, or whatever, and,
mm-hmm.
and how you balance all of that out too. So great point. Guess what? We've got another caller, but go ahead, Rita. Let me bring the caller in, and then you can finish your point. So, caller from the 816 area code, your line is open, and welcome to the
Hi.
Artist Roundtable.
Thank
Hi.
You. Hi.
And who is this?
My name is DeBrow.
Okay.
And I'm a significant other of a musician.
Okay.
Who is here in the Midwest, and I thought I'd just kind of weigh in. The conversation is really interesting.
Okay.
And, I'm not married to this gentleman,
mm-hmm.
but we're dating, and reality seems to, of his status as a musician and director and producer is amazing, and it's, I guess I look at it from the reality side. I'm not, you know, I don't look at it through Tiffany colored glasses. It's really something, and it can really mess you up if you allow it to.
Sure.
But, you know, I love him so much.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead, dear.
So you came into the relationship as he is an artist?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And, you know, just out of curiosity, if you don't mind me asking, was the attraction the music? Or was it the person or a combination of the both?
It was really, you know, I really didn't really think about that. I think it was, you know, I first saw his music and whatever about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And then back and forth, you know, hi, how you doing? Da-da-da. Very, very short comments or what have you. And then he broke the ice, more like one of those ice dams, you know. He broke the ice, and I decided to walk into a relationship with him. But
okay.
I guess it's the person that keeps me. The music was great, and I'm a musician myself, and I really like
okay.
the style. So
okay.
It's a little bit combination of both.
Okay. So what do you think the challenges are or will be, you know, as you take this journey with him as the significant other?
Well, I was listening to Donna and Rita, and
uh-huh.
Everything that they said rings so true. I guess because of my advanced age, I've seen a lot, and I really think the journey will bring, it'll be a test of patience. It'll be a test of, okay, am I really ready for this? I know that the passion that this gentleman has for his music is over the top, but it's not unrealistically over the top.
Okay.
He spends many, 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 many hours in his studio, and
mm-hmm.
I'm so busy, I don't feel neglected.
Okay.
He has brought me into a little bit of the business, and that got a little hairy at first, but I really enjoy the part that he's allowed me to share with him.
So, do you see yourself at some point possibly getting involved in his career, or just kind of allowing him to be the creative soul and, you know, stand on the outside and, you know, kind of watch?
I want him to continue with his creative, let him be the creative soul. If he decides
mm-hmm.
that he would like to use, employ my talent in the business
mm-hmm.
side,
mm-hmm.
I'm not, opposed to that. I kind of,
okay.
I'm just going to let him call the shots.
Okay. Okay.
I know I sound like Doom Cleaver.
You know what? I think it's okay. I think that there are ways of making this work for both parties, and I think that there could be a place where, maybe I shouldn't get involved because he doesn't really want me to, and I can enjoy him over here and I can appreciate what he's creating. Or, I think that there is something that I have, skills that I have that I can help, whether it's organizing things or making phone calls or whatever it is, So I think that there are definitely different ways, to be supportive or
mm-hmm.
even being involved, in it. And so I guess I appreciate you ladies, calling in and sharing, your thoughts and understanding the artist that you love. Because I know that it's not easy. I was in a situation where I was listening to a mother speak on her son's career as an artist, and she was like, I hope one day soon, 20 years after the fact, I hope one day soon he starts making some money from this. and I was like, I sensed I didn't open up a dialogue with her because she didn't seem like she would have wanted to open up a dialogue with me. But, it was like, I would imagine, as a mom, of this artist or any moms, might sit there and say, man, you've been putting so much time into this. At what point are you going to turn around and make some money from it? So would it be fair for me to ask you, ladies, is that something you think about, when as you love an artist, like about the money situation? How about we'll start with Rita?
Oh, well, it does cross my mind. it does cross my mind. Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
At this point in our lives, it's not important as far as a whole lot of it. what Monica was talking about, how, you know, with how you describe your success, you know,
yeah.
That's exactly how I feel. You know, the success is playing and doing what you want to do, you know, and making appearances and making enough money to get by. You know, it would be nice to make, you know, money like Beyonce or one of the major stars, but it's really not important.
Exactly.
Not to me. Or I don't think to Maurice. I can't speak for him, but.
Right. So then, Donna, what are your thoughts about that? Like, is all this hard work that's going into, you know, John being a musician and a composer and an actor and all of that, do you think about the money part of it?
I really don't. That's the last thing that comes into play right now. You know, it would be nice, but, you know, it's more important to me that he's happy and that we pursue this, because I think that eventually it will come.
Okay.
You know, and just getting to that point where, you know, we're comfortable is
sure.
Fine. I did want to bring up another point I think is very important. I'm sorry, I didn't catch her name. The girl that just came on.
Deborah?
Yes.
Hi.
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 I just want to applaud you for keeping busy and not feeling neglected, because it's really going to be a strong point in your relationship. You know, you have to let them do what they do while they're doing what they do, and being your own independent person so that you guys can come together and enjoy the time that you are together.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that advice. I take it, and I'll take it to heart.
So Debrille, as you enter into this relationship with your artists and, you know, go on this journey, you know, do you think that the money aspect will ever come into play, you know, whether it's the lack of or, you know, the desire to make? You know, do you see that as being something that could be a concern?
I believe that in any relationship, no matter what your career, money is always going to be a concern. But as far as him blowing up and making it big and blah, 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 like I said earlier, even and I wanted to thank Ms. Green for calling me a girl. Thank you. That's really sweet. Because I'm kind of old. But so at this stage of my life, the thing that I've come to understand, I'm a cancer survivor. And
okay.
I looked death in the face, and I found out that at the end of the day, they're not going to write about how much money you made or didn't make.
Right.
I'm really concerned with his health and his happiness.
Okay.
If he's happy, I'm happy. And just as Ms. Green said earlier, I have to busy myself and have my own things to do. I'm getting ready to put my only child through college.
Okay.
And I'm doing multiple jobs to make sure everything flows and we don't miss a beat. I've been a single parent for 18 years.
Okay.
I really think that with his work, as long as he's happy, and like Miss Rita said earlier, when you have enough to make it, and then as Ms. Donna said, you're getting to a point where you're getting comfortable, because like people say at the end of the day, how much money do you need? I need enough money to make sure we've got everything we need to have covered. And
right.
When you're happy, I think happiness is a big paycheck. And I can really say that because I've gone through life. I've been around the block a few times, and happiness really is the – I know that doesn't sound good, sorry, but happiness is a very – I think it's larger than the money aspect.
I think that's I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, and you know, we're going to have you back on the show in another 6 months and another year just to see if you still feel that same way. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that's funny. No, no, really. And I was just going to say, check back with me later to see what I feel
right.
then. But I know it's not about me, but my experiences have led me to this. My father was an anthropologist, and he would speak at venues like Madison Square Garden, and I watched my mother be in the shadows, and I watched how she handled that with grace when people would push her out of the way to get his autograph for the books that he wrote, to get his catch his eye. I watched how she manipulated through the world with grace. She not manipulated, maneuvered, and she had her head up, and she was a good, you know, supporter. So that's what I come to the table with that knowledge base, and it's a blessing.
You know what? That's a great story, and I appreciate you saying that because now it's reminded me of a story, which I think actually would you know, fit into the scenario of being in love with an artist. My dad is a retired Baptist minister, and you know, he's a minister before I came into, you know, came along, but. I remember my mother. Well, my mother was just this amazing woman who was so supportive, you know. And daddy was one of those ministers that actually had an office at the church during the week, so it was his job, you know, and meeting with, you know, the board, meeting with the members, you know, counseling this, that, and the other. I remember my mom telling a story about how she had to call the church and talk to my daddy's secretary to make an appointment to see him. You know, but but she grew into just, you know, playing the role as the minister's wife, you know, being involved where she wanted to be involved, and how she wanted to be involved. And then, you know, letting my dad, you know, do his thing, whether it was in church or he was very, very involved in our community also. So he was part of several boards. You know, and all. And then the joke came out on their 50th wedding anniversary how when daddy was in trouble with my mom, he would come home with ice cream. And so my whole life, it's so funny, I think back on that, it was like, you know, we always had ice cream in the house. So did that mean daddy was always in trouble with my mom, you know? But I guess it just kind of makes me think about, you know, maybe it's similar to even like what my mom went through, you know, being the wife of a minister and whose time was in such demand, people calling on the phone, you know, people wanting to meet with him, you know, meetings to go to and this and that. And, you know, she figured her way through it, you know, in 50 years, you know, and she so loved my daddy, you know, and he so loved her and so appreciated her that... You know, now he's 89 years old, and my mom passed, you know, 10 years ago. But it's like almost still, it's almost like he's lost without her, you know, and stuff. So that, you know, that's a great story. I really appreciate that, Debrielle, because I think,
thank you.
You know, that's a really, really great way to look at it. I want to thank all of you, you know, that have called into the show. There's 20 minutes left, so we can definitely keep the conversation going. If there's a chance that it goes past the time, it will still continue to record, you know, past for another hour if everybody wanted to stay on the phone that long. So anyway, I cut somebody off, and I'm so sorry for that. Was that
That's
you, Stephen?
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that it's always hard for a couple when one is in the spotlight and the other one's not.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal opinion is that the person that's in the spotlight, it's kind of mostly their responsibility to let their significant other know how important they are to them. I have a significant person in my life right now, and she's very busy. I'm very busy. I mean, you know, I've got the girls, full-time job and trying to do this production company as well, and it takes a lot of my time. But no matter what, she's going to know that she is always top in my life. And that's the artist's responsibility to do that,
right.
Be it male or female. I mean, we were talking about the groupies earlier, and I've seen groupies ruin more relationships with artists than anything else. And, you know, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, the hat, the water bottle, everything. I played in a band in Europe for about 3 years as a 21, 22-year-old man, single, traveling all over Europe, playing in all these clubs and everything. If I told you guys some of the things that I did, you would delete me from your Facebook page.
Ah.
Okay. Took a break from music for a while to get my head back together. And before I got back in it, I had to ask myself, are you ready to handle that kind of stuff and handle it in a professional manner?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key to it. You have to handle it. You know, you can deal with the groupies. You can talk to them and all that, but you cannot cross the line. And that line has to be a real thick line. We're not talking about a fence. We're talking about a, you know, the Great Wall of China, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, you know, we're all human.
Right.
I can put myself in a situation where if I was the significant other of a female artist and I could know that she loved me beyond a shadow of a doubt and everything, but that doubt always kind of creeps in a little bit.
Sure.
And if that doubt is allowed to grow and fester, it can turn into resentment. It can turn into hatred.
Right.
You know, so it's up to the artist to let that person know that they mean the world to them and that they love them with all their heart and that there's nobody else for them and all of that. And I actually know she's listening right now. So, she'd probably go give me a whole lot of hassle about this after the show is over. She'd probably go blow my phone up after this is over with. But she knows I love her. She knows that. And I always have and I always will.
Yeah, we just want you to know, Stephen's significant other, we got your back. So,
oh yeah, yeah, they go, they go,
play a very
they go
big role in Stephen's world, but you know we got your back because
they
yeah.
go keep me in line, trust me. But
yeah.
Watch the groupie thing, folks, and mm-hmm. there are male groupies and female groupies out there,
sure.
And those folks can get out of line real quick. I mean,
crazy.
Way out of line.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work in security in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and used to have to do all the concerts that came through Myrtle Beach. And the things that I've seen some people do down at the front of the stage and after the show was over with back, but, you know, man, make a sailor blush.
Mm.
Okay. But, you know, they're out there and you have to have, you, like my man in Avatar said, you have to cultivate a strong mental attitude. You know, that's the bottom line.
Right.
Your head has to be tight and in the game. Okay.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, and And I was thinking about this as you were talking, Stephen. I think it's a beautiful thing when you talked about the fact of, you know, making sure that your lady knows that she's like, you know, she's like number one, you know, up there with your girls to, you know, how much you love her and will always, you know, do that. Because I think that is something really important, you know, when you get busy in the studio and you're working on something for John or you're working for something for Blaze or, you know, if I ever get my piece done, you know, you're doing it for me. I think all of that's really, really important. And I think that you're the kind of man, though, that would have such a great respect, you know, for your lady and who she is, that you would know how to balance it and how to adjust and compromise around what it is that you're doing. You know, I think about if I ever had the opportunity to fall in love again and to be in a relationship, it really would take a very special man to fit into my world because, you know, for instance, I could be on the phone for hours with a Stephen Jerome Ferguson or a John D. Green Sr., you know, who are both men, and, you know, he'd have to be confident in the fact that, you know, in me spending that type of time on the phone with either Stephen or John, that it's okay. It's nothing, you know, romantic or anything like that. It's something that is around business or even friendship, you know. So, because the majority of the people right now that I'm working with, from, you know, doing business stuff to this and that, are males, you know, besides Monica, you know, and, you know, or Blaze, you know, so, it would take somebody, you know, special to understand my world, why the artists are really important to me, why I do radio shows, you know, 5 days a week, you know, why am I setting up tours to come to the Pacific Northwest to then, you know, working on tours to go into different states around the United States and even across over into Europe? You know, those type of things take a lot of time, you know, and I do trust that if the right person was to come along, I would figure out a way of adjusting my schedule, you know, to fit it in, you know, fit him in. That doesn't even sound right, huh? To fit him into my schedule, you know, but to make it work. See, obviously, I don't need no man, huh, because I got to fit him in. But figure out how to make it work.
You know, chances are both people will go have some kind of life, you know. And, like, in my situation and my significant other situation, we both have a lot of things going on where it takes up a lot of time. But one thing we did was we sat down and said, okay, what are you doing Monday? Okay, this is what I'm doing. What are you doing Tuesday? What are you doing Wednesday? And we found one day where neither one of us was really doing anything. And that's kind of our one day a week vacation with each other.
Right. Okay.
You know, and, you know, anything to show that to show how you really feel about that person is important. And
sure.
That's the point I want to get across to all the people that, you know, the artists that may be listening to this, that may be either in a relationship or thinking about getting into one, is for one, treat your craft like it's a business. You know, the groupies and all that, that's just the business. That's the
part of the business.
All that stuff when you're on stage, that Stephen Jerome Ferguson is an entirely different one than the one that my significant other knows. I mean, she's aware of it and she knows what's going on with it and everything. But
mm-hmm.
that's my brand. That's my company. That's my persona, so to speak. But that's not me. That's not me. And
you mean you don't sit on the couch and play your bass guitar or anything when she's there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Uh-uh. Well, no. I played a little air guitar a couple of times, but that's the extent of it right now. But
okay.
But you have to keep it separate. You
mm-hmm.
have to keep your, you know, it's fine to bring them in and let them be a part of their of your world if they want to.
Yeah.
But it's not a it's not a prerequisite.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I've seen it work both ways, where the significant other was not a part of the artist's business at all, but they were extremely happy and stayed together for years.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if that significant other wants to get involved, then I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have anything to hide. You got to be open and honest with every part of your relationship, every part of your business or whatever, in order for the relationship to work.
That's right.
No, I agree with you, and I'm sure Rita, you know, you can definitely feel what Stephen's saying, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Agree with him totally.
So it's, you know, again, I appreciate all of you, you know, calling in and sharing. And please note that when I decided to do this show, it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to open up the phone lines and, you know, have you call in and either rave about your artist or like, man, this really sucks, you know, type thing. I guess I wanted you to guys to have a voice, you know what I mean? Because you guys play such a big role. You know, whether you know it or not, just like Stephen was saying, you know, you guys play such a big role when it comes to being a part of the artist's life, you know, that, you know, hopefully you take care of yourselves and you find your balance in the midst of all the craziness of loving an artist. I know it can't be easy. You know, I know there's many, many sacrifices that, you know, that you're making, you know, when it comes to, you know, loving an artist. And so this was, in a sense, more so wanting to honor you guys. But, I open up the phone lines. I do features with artists, right, all the time. So I'm pretty good at, you know, getting them to talk and share what they honestly think and feel about, you know, being a part of the industry. I've had some great, great conversations. But I just, you know, I just got to thinking, you know, Rita and DeBrill, Donna has dropped off the line, you know, that, you know, you have things that you are processing and going through and all of that is in loving your artist, you know, and what that would look like, you know, because for me or, you know, thinking about Monica's family, you know, her sister and her parents, you know, and this and that, and what they have witnessed in Monica, you know, going through her journey as an artist. You know, I know it's not easy, so I just wanted to honor you guys and just know, you know, that you guys are important. You just really, you matter, and you're not insignificant, you know, even to somebody like me, because I know what my kids, again, and my father went through just watching me build a business and struggling and having to live at my business to, you know, even doing my Lady Flava thing, you know, doing radio shows and, you know, and all the things that I'm doing now, being on the phone from morning till night, sometimes with different artists or managers and this and that, trying to work out details or plan projects. So, you know, I just commend all of you. You guys are amazing. And your artists are so very, very lucky to have you, Rita and DeBrill, you know, and Donna out there. You know, they're very, very fortunate. And I thank you so much, ladies, for calling in and just sharing your thoughts and stuff. You know, and please always know, you know, I open up the door to you guys, too, anytime when I do a talk show or whatever to share your thoughts, you know, because I want you to know that you have a voice, too, here at Flava News Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much. So did anybody want to say anything? We've got like 5 minutes left in the show. You know,
this is DeBrell again. I just wanted to say, Lady Flava, thank you for, you know, allowing me to speak. And have you written a book yet or another one? We share something in common. Not only was my father an anthropologist, but he was a Pentecostal preacher. And so I feel it is one of the same. No matter what the calling, it's the spotlight that is the same, and it all touches our egos. So I think we can all navigate this road. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad that you came in. You know, I think somebody has mentioned to me that I should write a book, you know, or something about my journey, and maybe, you know, it's something that I may do in the future. I definitely can tell some interesting stories of just my growth and being around artists and being the artist cheerleader to, you know, what I think and feel about, you know, underground independent artists, because that's my definite passion to, you know, man. One thing we did not touch on in the show is, you know, our artists, and just like for myself, you know, we've run into some shadiness. I'm sure Maurice and Rita, you know, I'm sure that Stephen has and John has and Monica has Ray run into some shady characters in this industry, you know, and how do you even just like maneuver through those type of experiences, you know, to keep your head straight and moving. So maybe we'll just have to touch on that on another show, because I think that would be a great conversation to take on. And see, I'm being grandma right now, so Kimora's, you know, all of a sudden 2 minutes left in the show, and she's become quite lively. Grandma, what is this? Grandma, what is that?
I'm a new grandma.
But yeah, okay,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But I do. I thank all of you, you know, for calling in tonight. This was special for me. I hope it, you know, you walk away feeling like it was for you too. So, Rita, thank you so much for starting out the conversation and sharing honestly, you know, about your experience being on this journey with Maurice. He is an absolutely amazing talent. So I'm thrilled to have him on board with Flava News Radio, and, you know, whatever it is that I can do, you know, through Flava News and Flava News Radio to support the two of you with his career, I'm here. You know, I've started playing his music. We'll get him on as a feature, you know, and, you know, whatever it is that we need to do. So
Thank you so much. Definitely stay
in touch. Maurice has got my business number, so, you know, definitely, you know, use it if you ever need it.
Oh, thank you so much.
My dear friend Stephen, you know, I knew that you would say some great wise words if you called into the show tonight, so I appreciate that, and I know that you have much love and respect for your lady, and you know, with her listening now, I hope she understands how important she is to you.
We got you back
on this one with Stephen. And then, John, you know, your wife had to drop off. I know that you're, you know, dealing with John Jr. and all of that. But, John, you know, I value you, too, in my world. And I value your wife, Donna. And I thank God your wife loves me, too, you know, because sometimes you and I could be on the phone for a long time talking. So I know you laugh, huh? And I have to tell you, John, you know, I've been going through John withdrawals. I know I had to send you that text the other day. It's like, okay, I'm going through John withdrawals. You know, you're an actor now. You're doing all these things, and I feel really neglected. But I'll just
have
to get over that myself.
We'll have to fix that real soon here.
I know. We haven't had coffee in the morning in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
I know it. And Miss Monica Monet, can I tell you, my sister, my girlfriend, my artist friend, it has been a pleasure and an honor to be on this journey with you.
As you
continue doing what you do. And you had me cheesing big time last night singing to me. I mean, I really think about this, like, who else gets this opportunity, you know, to have people sing to them or play, you know, a guitar for them while they're on the phone, or recite poetry or read excerpts from books. I have that blessing. And, Monica, you're one of those joys in my life. So I really, really appreciate just being on this journey with you. So watch out. Monica Monet is coming to the Pacific Northwest March 21st through the 25th. Got to get my plug in there. And, DeBrille, you'll just have to become my new girlfriend, okay, because, you know.
That'll be just fine.
I think that you know, I admire you, you know, for embarking on this journey with your artist. I know it may not always be easy, but I'm so glad that you've got your own world and your own life, and, you know, you have things that you do for you, you know, to take care of you and, you know, and your child, and then, you know, that you have the time that you spend with him, you know, where you guys enjoy, and even the openness that you have to get involved, you know, with his music career and all that he's doing. I think that's a beautiful thing, too. So, you know, I got your back, too, with your artist. So,
right. Thank you.
But so to everybody who listened to the show live, to those that, you know, come back and check out the archives, to the several that were hanging out on the phone tonight with us and didn't raise their hands, we got a pretty good turnout tonight on the show. So I'm thrilled. So I want to say, you know, take care, God bless, and let's just keep, you know, supporting each other and loving each other through this journey as, you know, as artists or, you know, those that love and support the artists. So take care, God bless, and stay tuned for another show real soon.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, ladies.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.